Congregation, this morning we are witnessing a changing of the guard. Our current deacons, Rodney and Josh, are completing their terms of service. The new team of deacons, Lennon, Yvonne, Jenny and Margaret, are taking up the baton as they are ordained this morning. And as part of that transition, I want to break into our series from Romans this morning with some teaching on caring for people who are in need, and more specifically about our responsibilities as individuals and as an entire church family. We're going to come at that broader issue through this specific example, through Paul's words to Pastor Timothy in Ephesus about how to care for widows. Let me begin, though, with a more general principle. Broadly speaking, the church is to be a place in which different people are treated differently. And that doesn't sound great at first hearing to our ears, which are used to hearing the message that everyone is the same and is to be treated equally. But I think a moment's reflection ought to convince us, persuade us, that we ought to believe that it's true. Take a sports team as an example. Let's take our cricketers as an example. The coach is treated differently from the umpires. The umpires are treated differently from the members of your team. The members of your team, you treat them differently from the members of the other team. The players and the umpires and the coach, and they're all treated differently from the spectators. Each class of person, each group of people have differing responsibilities and differing privileges. The players go on the field. They're treated in a certain way. The players are on the field, but the coach is on the sidelines. The umpires have authority, except when they're challenged. But the umpires have authority. They're treated with respect. The coach persuades and encourages his players, and the players respond to him, or they don't. You could say on one level, the captain of the team is just another player, but in a certain sense, he commands a special respect. Different people are treated differently. They have different responsibilities, different privileges. And in terms of our cricket team, or should I say yours, they all have the privilege at the moment of losing. We see in the opening verse, though, of chapter 5, the way Pastor Timothy was to respond differently to different kinds of people. We exhort, but not rebuke harshly, older men. He was to treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, to treat younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And then from verse 3 onwards, we see a focus on widows. And from verse 17, a focus on elders. And from chapter 6 in verse 1, which we didn't read, a focus on those in the church who were slaves. Different people, different responsibilities, different privileges. So let's narrow in this morning on this focus in verses 3 through 16 on widows. And the broadest principle we see in our text this morning is that there should be proper recognition. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. The phrase, give proper recognition, could also be translated, give honor. Honor those widows who are really in need. And I think the word honor is better because it links us back into a very important passage from the Old Testament that you know very well, from the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Same word that's used. But what does it mean to honor someone? Sometimes we use the word honor to describe showing great respect for someone, high regard, appreciation for the things that they have done. 2 years ago, Sir Peter Cosgrove was honoured with a knighthood. The goal was to give proper recognition for his work over many years as Chief of the Australian Defence Force. Or children who, while you are young and still at home, you honour your parents through obedience. You recognise that God has given your parents authority in the home, and you honour your parents by being obedient. But this command in the Ten Commandments isn't just for children. There's nothing that says that your father and mother stop becoming being your father and mother at some point. Nothing that says that honor is only for when you're at home and living and young. Rather, honor describes the way in which children should relate to their parents throughout the entirety of their lives. Over the years, Lydia and I have been surprised at times that a number of the couples who've come and done premarital counselling with us have come with the idea that honour continues to mean obedience, even after marriage. But that can't be, can it? Otherwise, what if you've got your parents and you've got your parents-in-law and one set of parents say, you really should stay close so we can see the grandchildren, and the others say, no, launch yourself out into the world and create some distance. You'd have two sets of parents saying opposite things, and you'd be like, what am I supposed to do? I can't obey both sets of parents. Now, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. When you mature and become adults, whether single or married, they are still your parents, but you are no longer children. You are now mature. You continue to show honor. You listen to them. You seek their advice. You consider their counsel. But at times you'll respectfully disagree with their conclusions and make your own decisions. Young people don't do that lightly. Your parents love you. Parents, don't forget that adulthood and marriage means that your relationship with your children changes. And so we might say, obedience for a time, but honor for a lifetime. Honor for a lifetime. And honor being shown to widows is what's in view here. But what does honor actually look like when it becomes action rather than just some words or a thought? Let me give you one example. As churches, we honour our emeritus ministers, our retired ministers like Pastor John. Historically, at least, that looked like dollars and cents to ensure that our retired ministers were provided for after spending their lives serving the church. Although in our society, we now provide for that through the superannuation system, of course. That's a biblical understanding of the word honour. Paul tells us that elders who give themselves full time to the work of teaching to bless the church are worthy of double honor. And the connotation is that of it's a financial contribution. Or for a less honorable example, the same words used of Judas. Judas honoring Jesus. How did Judas honor Jesus? He valued him as being worth 30 silver coins. So putting all that we've seen so far together, widows who are in need, literally widows who are truly widows, that is, widows who have no way to support themselves, no assets, no money to draw on, these widows are to be honored, they are to be financially supported in their physical needs. That's the overall principle, proper recognition. But who's supposed to do this? What's the second thing we want to see this morning? Proper recognition by you. By you. The fact that widows are to be supported, widows who are in need, are to be supported, doesn't mean, in the first instance, that that's to be done by the church. Verse 4, if a needy widow has children or grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren, they have this responsibility. Back to the Ten Commandments, they are called to honour their mother by meeting her needs. They should learn, first of all, to put their own religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The principle is clearly, though, not limited to widows. The same holds true of our parents in general in older age, when they can no longer live on their own or they need supported care in the home. Brothers and sisters, it pleases God when you repay your parents and your grandparents by honoring them in their need. They cared for you when you were a child and had needs. They changed your dirty nappies. Now they have needs. and you care for them. But isn't that too big an ask? I mean, do you know how much residential care costs these days? There was a Lutheran pastor, Richard Lenski, who put it like this. It has been well said that one father is able to keep and provide for 10 children, while 10 children often cannot see their way clear to take care of one old father. Okay, none of us have 10 children, but the point still holds, especially living in a society where our government freely provides so much. We can be grateful for what's provided for us and our parents free of charge, but that doesn't take away our responsibility as children either. Let me change the focus of application a moment towards those of you who are older. If you have children or grandchildren, then this text would imply that you need to be open and honest about your needs. Because if you pretend that things are fine when they're not fine, if you pretend you've got no needs and everything's hunky-dory, and it's not the case, then you're depriving your children, you're depriving your grandchildren of an opportunity to put their faith into practice and to care for you in a way that pleases God. Proper recognition of those who are in need by you, by those of you who are close family, particular family, immediate family. But it doesn't end there either. It also involves proper recognition by us as a body. Because it could be the case that you're on your own, you don't have family to care for you any longer. Or it's the case that you do have family, but they are not believers. Or they are believers, but they are unable to help you without going into neediness themselves. Any of those situations, when you have needs, you need to speak with our deacons. Just as you might approach me or one of our elders when you have spiritual struggles or doubts or questions that you would like some help with, or you'd like to talk through or talk through absolutely anything at all, so too you should approach our deacons when you have physical needs and no one who can help you. It's not that our deacons will necessarily help you themselves or meet their needs themselves. After all, if you look down at verse 16, speaking of how family ought to help family first of all, and not let the church be burdened. Not let the church be burdened with them, so the church can help those widows who are really in need. And so we have this responsibility this morning as a church family. It's our responsibility as a church family to meet the needs that your family cannot meet. And if it comes to pass that you need help so that you can be honored in your older age and in your needs, then you need to know this morning that we will gladly help you. We don't want you to have to turn to immoral means in order to get by. I think that's the inference from verse 6 here. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. That's someone, I think Paul is saying here, someone who has nothing to offer except their body might turn to prostitution in their neediness. Neither do we want you to steal or cheat or lie in order to try and get assistance from the government. Rather, we want you to know the loving care and concern of the people of God, the family of God. If you need help and you have no family to turn to or family who will not help, our deacons will gladly help you. After all, isn't the care of widows precisely the situation out of which the first deacons were appointed? Wasn't it? The apostles were coordinating the ministry in Jerusalem, and there were widows who were hungry. There was a church family obligation for the church to provide for widows who otherwise had no one to help them out. But the Greek background Jews were missing out, and the Hebrew background Jews were getting it all. And so in response, the apostles appointed spirit-filled people. Wise people, and gave them a responsibility, a physical and practical responsibility for widows who were in need to lead, to take a lead in that very practical ministry. If you have family, it would be entirely appropriate for our deacons to approach them, to talk about your needs and to remind them of their roles and responsibilities before God, their loving duty of care. They cared for you when you were young, and now that they are older and in need, you care for them. And once upon a time, congregation, this was obvious to everyone. This principle of the priority of family care was obvious to everyone. That's the reason Paul writes in verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Everyone recognized this obligation to take care of parents in their older age. And to a degree, I think we've lost this as a culture. The way in which children care for parents throughout much of Asia and Africa really shows us up as a society in the West. And just as this principle is obvious and self-evident to many Asian cultures, so it was in Paul's day. And if Christians were to be seen as having lower commitments to family than those around them, then what a damning rebuke that would have been. What a terrible advertisement for the Christian faith to those outside the church. We who follow Jesus ought to follow his example. Seems very likely that Jesus' mother Mary was widowed. We don't know exactly when Joseph died, but his later absence from all four Gospels is truly remarkable. I don't know if you've noticed that before. The last time he's mentioned is when Jesus is 12 years old, going up to Jerusalem with his parents to the temple at the festival. After that, we see Mary and Jesus' brothers and sisters visiting him, but never Joseph. And what do we see on the cross? We see Jesus, a faithful son, looking to ensure continued care for his most likely widowed mother. We see Jesus saying to one of his disciples, to John, here is your mother. And from that time on, John took Mary into his home. Let me give one final application this morning. Because honor for the needy goes beyond just dollars and cents. There is that, and that's very evident here in 1 Timothy 5. But it goes beyond that too. I think it ought to be, and it is, a challenging rebuke to our society that so many elderly people are lonely. When they are left in nursing facilities and aged care facilities, even retirement villages, out of sight, out of mind, just tucked away, waiting to die. Never cared for, never loved, never visited, never honored, never appreciated. I say this morning, may the opposite be true of us, as I believe it is. May that be how we are known to an unbelieving world, as the people who love and honor and visit and care for and appreciate our parents and our grandparents in their older age. What did Jesus say? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Widows who are cared for, the needy cared for, may that be our witness, brothers and sisters. The love and care for the members of our family and our extended church family, our Christian family. We love because Christ first loved us. Christ loved us. He gave his life for us upon the cross. And he calls us into lives of service, to live a life of love to others in gratitude for his love for us. May that be our witness. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Let's pray.